a pilot dies and a passenger lands the King Air. Emirates declines comment on an A340 that was beyond heavy. And will the business aviation recession be first in, first out? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, April 14th, 2009. Three air traffic controllers who were working Miami Center on Sunday are being praised for their quick thinking in helping a passenger land a Beech King Air 200 after the plane's pilot died shortly after takeoff. According to the Naples Daily News, the aircraft, with six on board, had just departed Marco Island Executive Airport for Jackson, Mississippi. After checking in with Miami Center, and as the plane climbed through 10,000 feet, the unidentified pilot was stricken, leaving the plane flying on autopilot. One of the passengers was rated to fly single-engine planes, but not complex twins. He took the controls and called for assistance in getting the plane and its passengers safely back on the ground. One of the controllers called a friend in Connecticut who had experience with King Airs. With his help, the passenger-turned pilot got the autopilot offline and made a safe landing at Southwest Florida International Airport. No identities have been released. The original pilot was pronounced dead after the plane landed. Investigators say an Emirates Airbus A340 that took off from Australia's Melbourne International Airport last month, carrying 225 passengers and 350,000 pounds of fuel, was damaged seriously enough for the event's status to be upgraded from incident to accident. Preliminary investigation details published by the Melbourne Herald Sun say that on March 20th, the pilots apparently used all 11,500 feet of runway before rotating at an estimated 175 miles per hour. The plane's tail scraped the runway due to excessive upward pitch, producing a shower of sparks and smoke in the cabin. As it staggered into the air, the plane wiped out a strobe light 170 meters off the end of the runway, barely cleared a 2.5 meter high perimeter fence half a kilometer past the runway's end, then took out an antenna and narrowly missed a small building before eventually gaining more altitude. Following a fuel dump over Port Phillip Bay, the plane was landed successfully. ATSB senior investigator Neville Blythe says the aircraft suffered heavy damage. He added, quote, "It's a serious investigation. There are a fair bit of resources being put into this one," unquote. The pilots have reportedly resigned. Emirates has declined comment as the investigation continues. In an op-ed piece in the Washington Post, U.S. Air Force Secretary Michael Donnelly and Chief of Staff General Norton Schwartz explain why a move out of the Cold War paradigm requires reallocating the nation's limited defense resources, including ending production of the F-22. It reads, in part, quote, "Buying more F-22s means doing less of something else. In addition to air superiority, the Air Force provides intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, command and control, and related needs in the space and cyber domains. We're also repairing years of institutional neglect of our nuclear forces and taking steps to improve Air Force capabilities for irregular warfare," unquote. Donnelly and Schwartz go on to explain that the F-22 will work together with the multi-role F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. They admit, quote, "much rides on the F-35's success, and it's critical to keep the Joint Strike Fighter on schedule and on cost. Make no mistake, air dominance remains an essential capability for joint warfighting. The F-22 is a vital tool in the military's arsenal and will remain in our inventory for decades to come. But the time has come to move on," unquote. Aviation investment consultant Brian Foley now says the recession, which political candidates started exploiting in stump speeches in early 2008, and which became official late last year, began for the U.S. business aviation market in 2007. He says a first-in, first-out scenario will occur, with the U.S. leading the segment out of the slowdown. Quote, "This is good news, since this region has always been the industry's biggest market, accounting for 64% of the active worldwide business jet fleet," unquote. Foley says a comeback will require lower used aircraft inventories and higher aircraft utilization, GDP, corporate profits, stock market levels, and credit availability. In the April 2nd Aero News special feature, he predicted used inventories will peak around the middle of this year, with one in five business jets in the world's fleet listed for sale. Up next on ANN, airlines may see an economic recovery this summer. Book those cheap summer airline flights before they're gone. And Florida loves Sikorsky. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 14th. I'm Paul Platt. We may see signs of the recession having peaked by summer. The Dallas Morning News reports U.S. domestic passenger airlines are expected to lose a combined $2 billion for the 3 months ending March 31st. But even starting with that handicap, analysts expect the industry to turn a net profit for the full year. Robert McAdoo of Avondale Partners commented, quote, "The level of pessimism in the marketplace seems to be fading. Indications are that things may have bottomed as airlines head into peak travel season," unquote. Among the year-to-year differences which make direct historical comparisons difficult, a travel spike caused by Easter and Passover season landed in the first quarter last year, but in April this year. All told, the consensus among analysts surveyed by the Morning News is that March will go down as the low point, and industry profits will total $1 billion in the second quarter and more than $2 billion for full year 2009. But in the meantime, a summer price war has broken out as the airlines compete to fill empty seats. The Wall Street Journal reports that, ironically, the new a la carte fees for checked bags could cost more than the base fare on some domestic flights in the U.S. One example, American Airlines would fly you from Chicago to Minneapolis last week for $88. The two checked bags, $100. At only 3.3 cents per mile, that's way cheaper than driving between those two cities. Even if you add two checked bags and drive an economical car, the plane ticket still wins. Even last-minute walk-up fares have been dirt cheap lately. So when will consumer confidence improve, and how far ahead should you book your flight? Tom Parsons, chief executive of bestfares.com, says seats for late 2009, which are still pricey, are bound to fall if you wait. Quote, "Don't touch fares for November and beyond. I don't see where this economic climate is going to turn around that fast, and those seats need to be sold," unquote. While huge defense contractors mount a campaign to keep their federal contracts going through changing Pentagon budget priorities, an aircraft development program that's been funded in the private sector appears ready to set some records at a small Florida airport. The Palm Beach Post reports Sikorsky Aircraft will soon ship its experimental X-2 technology demonstrator prototype to the company's flight center near West Palm Beach for further trials, which will lead to a run at the rotorcraft speed record of 250 knots later this year. While many aerospace companies have been cutting their workforces, the center's general manager, Pete Latico, tells the Post he added 365 workers in 2008, for a current total of 878. The single-seat X-2 technology demonstrator is designed to prove a suite of technologies intended to make possible helicopters with high cruise speeds, yet which avoid sacrifices in low-speed handling and hover efficiency. Fitted with dual counter-rotating coaxial rotors and a large shaft-driven pusher propeller at the tail, the X-2 will preserve the ability to auto-rotate, which is not possible in many hybrid aircraft. The demonstrator's first flight was made last August. The 30-minute test was flown without powering up the pusher prop. That next step is likely to happen at West Palm Beach. The current rotorcraft speed record is 249 knots, set by an Augusta Westland Lynx. An updated factual report issued by the National Transportation Safety Board on the June 2007 crash of a Cessna Citation 550 suggests it may have been caused by the accidental, undetected engagement of the autopilot. Six people died when the plane went down in Lake Michigan while flying a medical team and a pair of donated lungs to Detroit for a transplant operation. On Sunday, the Detroit Free Press reported the updated factual report included information from cockpit voice recordings, indicating that 11 seconds after the captain called for the first officer to activate the yaw damper, he was recorded calling for the FO's help in fighting a trim problem. The Free Press asked Captain Steve Jones, head of operations at Western Michigan University's College of Aviation, to take a look at the report. Jones concluded it's possible the co-pilot went for the yaw damper but inadvertently activated the autopilot. The controls are adjacent on the center console. A probable cause report on the accident has not yet been released by the NTSB. Still ahead, A Delta flight into Tel Aviv picks up a fighter escort. A pilot faces stiff charges for buzzing runway workers. And if you're going to be flying in the morning, you might want to go easy in the Baleadas. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, April 14th. I'm Paul Platt. A Delta Airlines flight en route from New York to Tel Aviv received an unexpected jet fighter escort Saturday. The Associated Press reports Israeli fighters were scrambled after air traffic controllers detected a hijacking alert which had been accidentally activated by the pilots. Tensions were heightened by what is described as a technical problem which prevented the Delta pilots from communicating with Israeli air traffic control. Israel says the fighters escorted the plane and its more than 100 passengers to a safe landing at Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion Airport. At least one Israeli media outlet has pointed a finger at a breakdown in the new code-positive security system, now in testing, which requires airliners bound for Israel to establish secure communications before entering Israeli airspace. The Israeli Transportation Ministry is investigating. A pilot accused of taking out his frustrations with fellow airpark residents by buzzing them while he performed runway repairs has been charged with reckless operation of an aircraft and 5 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. According to the complaint, back on January 3rd, 72-year-old Edwin Brock was upset by a maintenance-related runway closure at the Melrose Landing Airpark east of Gainesville, Florida. Brock allegedly harassed the men for closing the runway, then proceeded to take off in his Citabria anyway, using a grassy area parallel to the runway. The ground workers claim he made one pass at about 50 feet over their heads, then another about 30 feet AGL a half hour later. The men filed charges and Brock was arrested on Thursday. One of the men told the Jacksonville Times-Union that Brock has a history of reckless flying and conflicts with his neighbors. Brock is a former air traffic controller and says his altitude was consistent with normal takeoff and landing operations. He dismisses his arrest as an escalation of a dispute within the airpark's homeowners association. The FAA is investigating. As the International Space Station marches toward its planned end of operations in 2015, there's a move among participating nations to extend the program another 5 years. The Wall Street Journal reports NASA is developing cost estimates to extend ISS operations through 2020. Pending funding from the Obama administration. That could mean finding another $10 billion for the five-year extension, requiring an increase in funding for NASA. The station has been built over 2 decades at a cost of over $100 billion. Finally today, when you hear those stories about airline passengers going berserk during flights and being arrested, it's kind of hard not to wonder what they were thinking. Well, now we may have an explanation for the actions of one Ohio man arrested after his March 28th Delta flight from Honduras to Atlanta, but it's likely not an excuse he'll be proud of. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that 43-year-old Joao Correa fell victim to side effects of his last meal in Honduras about 30 minutes into his flight. He says he looked to the lavatory in Y-class and saw the beverage cart blocking the 737's narrow single aisle, so he ran toward the front of the plane to the lavatory in business class. Correa says a female flight attendant put her arm up to block his access to the forward lav and that he grabbed it to keep his balance while coming to an abrupt stop. The FAA's version has Correa grabbing and twisting her right arm. The pilot allowed Correa to use the business class lav despite company policy against it, and Correa says he thought all was well, but then he was arrested at his connection in Columbus, Ohio. A pilot from another airline who was seated in the business class cabin backed up the attendant's version of the story to the FBI. Correa says of the ordeal, quote, "I'm devastated. I've never had any event with the police in my life," unquote. A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for April 17th. Hopefully, Correa will eat something bland for breakfast before he heads out to court. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Over the weekend, a runoff election resulted in finalization of the first group of directors for the newly formed Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. My guest will be 2004 National CFI of the Year and newly elected SAFE director, Doug Stewart, who will introduce us to the new board and tell us where SAFE goes from here. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.